This is a Bible teaching podcast from www.lumen.org.uk. That's lumin.org.uk. The presenter is Jeff Lumley.
Hello. As we work our way through Romans chapter 1, we now come to a tricky pair of verses, not because of what they say in terms of scripture, but because of what people say about you when you say what they say. And therefore, we need to walk slowly and gently through this, I think. It's verses 26 and 27. But let's remember the context that we have been talking about. This is all about worship. It's all about people turning away from God. Verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. But that word godlessness, it's talking about the fact that people stop having God as part of their lives. They are therefore godless. And the word godless gets misused because people start to say, oh, you're saying I'm a nasty person. No, we're just saying that God is not part of your life. And they would admit to that. But if you call them godless, then suddenly you've said something terrible. Godlessness is worshipping something other than the true God. Because God is not part of your life. And if God is part of your life, then the aim of your life begins to be more and more about God and about Jesus. So we moved on and we looked, although they knew God, they neither glorified him nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile. Their foolish hearts were darkened. They claimed to be wise, but they became fools. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to impurity. That's what we've looked at. And now we come to 26 and 27. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations to unnatural ones. And in the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with the other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Because of this, because of what? Because of their lack of worship. Already in verse 24, it has said God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to impurity. And now in 26, and because of that, God gives them over to shameful lusts. Now the word lust that is used here is the word orexis. Well, actually, that's the word that's used in verse 27. In 26, it's pathos. God gave them over to degrading passions, shameful lusts. That's the context of what this is talking about. It's a burning desire for something that is not God. You see, worship should be a burning desire for God. And actually, God gives them up to a burning desire for something else. So, different uses of these words, pathos and orexis, lusts, flaming passion, desire, in these verses. And what's it saying is God gave them up to their false worship. They started to worship that which is not God. We've seen the downward spiral of created things. It was birds, it was animals, it was the beasts, it was the snake. And now it's actually, do you know what? It's just their own sensuality they're worshipping. They are giving themselves for their own sensual pleasure. And spoiler alert, there are a few more verses to go in chapter 1. We're only looking at 26 and 27. chapter 1 goes right on into verse 32. And as we go through those further verses, you will see the downward spiral continues. They go down and down and down. This is not the bottom. This is almost just the first thing. They are giving themselves up to worship their own sensuality. And I think there is a particularly poignant reason why this is put here in this passage. And that is because they have stopped worshipping the author of life. They've stopped worshipping the one who in the beginning created the world and who said, go forth and multiply and be joining with me in the recreation of life from generation to generation. Join with me in filling the earth. That was the command. Fill the earth with people. And what do we see here? Complete disobedience, because the gift they have that can be used to fill the earth is being used in a way that cannot produce life. It cannot produce the next generation if women are with women and men are with men. And so what we see here is a disobedience of that original command back in Genesis, where God said, fill the earth and subdue it. Where God said, go forth and multiply. This is not that. This is using something God gave them to do what God gave them to do. And instead of seeing the mission that God had given humanity, they see their own sensual desires. They worship their own bodies and they simply do for fun what God gave them for purpose. And that's the outcome of not worshipping God. If we are choosing to no longer worship God, then we are choosing things which take us away from the purpose that God gave us. You see, God gave human beings a reason to be. And the original reason, the starting point, was to inhabit the earth, to fill the earth, and to worship God. And because they have stopped worshipping God, they start to do things which cannot fill the earth. It's a picture of humanity going in the opposite direction to God. And that is what this is about. And it is God giving them over to this. God has already said in verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the desires of their hearts to impurity. And now God gives them over to shameful lusts. He just says, go and do what you want to do. You are no longer with me. You are godless. You have turned your hearts from true worship. Go and do what you want to do. I won't stop you. I give you over to that which you choose. And what happens as we read on? The men received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Now, people argue about what that is, but at the bottom line, they receive in themselves life without God. And God is the one who, through Scripture, tells us he is the creator, that he is good, that he is the healer, that he is the life giver, that he is the source of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And they have become godless. So they have cut these things out of their lives and they receive in their bodies the due penalty for their perversion, i.e. they've cut out life. They've cut out God's provision of health and healing, and there is no health in them. The word orexis, O-R-E-X-I-S, used in verse 27, burned in their desire towards other men, in the lust one towards another, in the desire of them towards. So it's this desire word, and it means a strong appetite, a strong desire. And the word it comes from is excitement of the mind, oregomai, excitement of the mind. They're excited in their minds for each other, when actually worship should be an excitement in our minds for God. This is the shameful part of this, that it's a turning from God to something else. And people argue about it. People try to defend themselves. But at the bottom line, once we start saying anything about my own feelings, my own desires, my own passions, comes before what God says, then we have moved from being worshippers to being godless. And that is what this whole passage is about. Are you putting your physical desires, your fantasy desires, ahead of your desire for God? Because as you do that, you start to go down these steps and you move away from God and you start to no longer be able to produce life. And if we're Christians, then that life production is not just the physical result of sexual union, it's also the spiritual provision of life to those we teach and those we encourage in the Word of God. And we are no longer able to produce life in that way either, and we only produce death. I'm reminded in Revelation, it talks about poison being poured into the water of life. I probably won't find it immediately very quickly, but it's one of the seals, isn't it? In chapter 6 of Revelation. And as I say, I won't find it very quickly, but poison is poured into the water of life, into the river of life. In fact, it's the trumpets in chapter 8, I think. Chapter 8, verse 10. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing with a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the water turned bitter. Many people died from the waters that had become bitter. And whatever else that means, there's a spiritual meaning. Because Jesus is the water of life. Jesus is the fountain of life. Jesus is the giver of life. And a third of the water, the teaching of Jesus, has become bitter. It's a polluted teaching of Scripture, which has been made bitter, and people are dying because they're not getting the truth of Scripture. So if you hear Christian teachers, in inverted commas, Christian teachers saying, Romans chapter 1 doesn't mean this and it doesn't mean that, and it doesn't mean homosexuality in the way that we think of it today, or whatever, or whatever, whatever. That's poison in the water of life. Because what this is saying is, as soon as your desires overtake God having authority in any area of your life, you have moved down this slippery slope. And we need to reflect, I mean, you know, whatever situation we're in, wherever we're at, if my desire for something is more important than God, if there is anything in my life where I'm sorry, God, I know you love me and you'll bless me anyway, I'm going to carry on doing this, even though I think you've told me not to, even though I know you've told me not to, even though you clearly say in the Bible I shouldn't do it, I'll carry on doing it. I think of Samson, one of the judges in the Old Testament. And for him, he was a Nazarite. He'd taken a vow which meant no hair on his head was to be shaved. And when his head was shaved, he lost all the blessing of God. And you might say, well, he didn't shave his head. It was that wicked woman that shaved his head. That might be true. Delilah was the one who shaved his head, but that was because he was messing around with things he shouldn't have been messing around with. He put himself into a position which, as a man of God, he should not have been. He was consorting with someone who was not an Israelite. He was consorting with a woman who was not his wife. He was doing things he should not have been doing, and he put that passionate desire before his worship of God. He lost his blessing. And that's what I think we are warned about here. Is there anything that you put before your worship of God? Because as soon as you do, however big it is, however small it is, you have moved away from God, and you're in danger of being included amongst those who are called godless, and you're on a slippery slope. And we will see, verse 28 starts with furthermore, what that slippery slope is. We'll see that next time. For now, God must be first. That's all I really want to say about verses 26 and 27. And if God is not first, there is no life.
He's forgiven you.
The music is by graceforall.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening.